when Satan came to tempt the Lord Jesus, you know what he wanted to do, don't you? He wanted to drag the Son of God into the darkness. He wanted to catch him and put him in the deep darkness of his own lies, deception, evil, wickedness. He wanted to drag the Son of God into the darkness. And our Lord Jesus resisted him. No wonder. How could it possibly be that he who is the light of the world, that he, the beloved Son of God, such a one, how could Satan ever have thought that he could take that one down into the darkness with him? Now then, having won that victory, having resisted the devil, having not fallen into the darkness of that evil tempter, now, immediately afterwards, our Lord Jesus comes, what to do? To save the lost. Immediately having dispelled Satan, in having driven him away, it says, the devil left him. What a great victory. Having done that, our Lord's work was only beginning. He came to save the lost. He came to draw others who were in the darkness out of the darkness and into his light. And Matthew tells us that our Lord Jesus, when he began this public ministry, he moved to Capernaum. He went to Capernaum. And I've explained to you on the map where Capernaum is. And it's found in the region called Zebulun and Naphtali. This region is known as Galilee of the Gentiles. And you have a map to show you where he was. Right? But Matthew says, deliberately he moved to Capernaum in order to fulfill something that Isaiah had said some 760 years before. So about 760 years before Jesus went to Capernaum, Isaiah had foreseen it and foretold it. And what Isaiah wrote is repeated in verses 15 and 16. And so, I want to begin this morning by asking, what did Isaiah see? Now, Isaiah was prophesying in chapter 9 around about the year 732 before Christ. And it was the reign of a king called Ahaz. And Isaiah saw the situation at that time. And what did he see? He saw these things. He saw the people living in darkness. When Isaiah looked at God's people, he said, I see the people living in the darkness. That's what he saw. And what Matthew is revealing to us is what was true in the life of Isaiah, what was true in the reign of Ahaz, was still true in Galilee at the time our Lord went there. The people were living in darkness. That's the situation. Now, Isaiah chapter 9 and part of chapter 8 tells us more about that darkness. And if you want to, you can turn now to Isaiah chapter 9, the end of chapter 8, and we shall look very briefly at what Isaiah saw. Isaiah saw. Now, part of this text you know very well. But if you will, look at Isaiah with me. What did Isaiah see? Well, first of all, if you look at chapter 9, verse 5, he saw an army. That's what he saw. He saw warriors with, it's called a sandal there, with boots on. He heard the noise of a, you know, in battles are terribly noisy. When steel hits steel or iron hits iron, and people scream and cry and shout. The noise of a battle, that's what he saw. And garments rolled in blood. He saw soldiers whose clothes were covered in the blood of the people of God. That's what he saw. Now, this wasn't a vision, this was reality. The king of Assyria, a man called Tiglath-Pileser III, this man had come with his army and he had killed many of God's people in the top part of the country. Remember I said divide it into thirds? Tiglath-Pileser III, around about the year 732 BC, had taken the whole of Galilee. Some he had killed, some he had carried away to a far off land, and some he had left there in their misery. So Isaiah saw this terrible event. Later on, Samaria would be taken, and later on, Judah would fall. But right at this time, Galilee of the Gentiles was the first part of God's people to be so afflicted. And what Isaiah understood was that this was a judgment of God. This was the wrath of God on his own people. And Isaiah tells us why they deserved the wrath of God. And if you have your Bibles open, you can see this in chapter 8, verse 19. In chapter 8, verse 19, Isaiah tells us what they were doing. They were going to mediums and wizards. However you translate that, these were people who held seances. You get loads of people in Cairo around this church are doing this at the moment. There's a huge increase in the number of people around us who will go and consult a medium to find out the future. As it says, they were going there to consult the dead. To consult the dead. And Isaiah knew, and you know, that you'll get no help from the dead. These mediums and wizards were people who were in fellowship with the devil. This was darkness, deep darkness indeed. It's a very foolish person who goes and consults a medium. And not only were they consulting the medium, but they were also ignoring the word of God. You can see this in verse 20. Isaiah says, to them, he says, to the law and the testimony. In other words, that's the word of God. You can say that's what we now have in the Bible. If they do not speak according to this word, and they weren't, it is because there is no light in them. This was the darkness. It wasn't just the cloud of Tiglath-Pileser's army. There was something wrong in the heart of the people of God. There was darkness in their hearts. That's what was wrong. It was complete ignorance of the word of God, and it had reached a point where it had got even worse than that, because God had told his servant the prophet not to give them his word. In verse 16, God says to his servant Isaiah, he says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. What he means is this. Don't give them the word of God. They've despised it. You know, it's many people despise the word of God. It's happened here. I don't know how many times. And there comes a point where God will take away his word from you. And in my ministry, I've seen that happen more than once. And when that happens, sometimes afterwards, people like Esau are sorry. And they want to come back. I very rarely see anyone come back. God often gives them over, and this is what's happening here. They've despised my word. Seal it up. In other words, Isaiah, take the scroll, wind it up, seal it, and give it to the disciples for another day. Don't let them have your word. And it's even worse than that. Even worse than that. Do you think it could be worse than what I just said? Well, it is worse. Because in chapter 8, verse 17, he tells us, not only has God taken his word away from them, but he has hidden his face from the house of Jacob. Do you know, at the end of many services, I or Benjamin will pronounce the benediction. You know, and you probably can recite it, where we lift up our hands to tell you that this is what God has said to you. This is the solemn, as it were, oath and word and promise of God. And what do we say? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Well, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Those are the words that we say. And Isaiah is saying, the Lord's not doing that now. Instead of lifting up his face upon them, he's hiding his face. Instead of shining upon them, he's left them in the darkness that is in their own heart. That's the darkness. That's what Isaiah could see. He could see not just people in the darkness, but the darkness in the people. And when we come to Matthew tells us that in the time when our Lord Jesus was born, grew up, and entered into his public ministry, that was still true. Was still true. Our Lord, if you read the Gospels, our Lord warned people about the darkness that's in them. On one occasion, he said to the people, very religious, they were probably more religious than you and I. But he said to the people, do you know what you're like? He said, you are like a dish or a cup. And when you look at the dish or the cup, why? Someone has washed it clean. A beautifully sparkling, clean cup that's just come out of the dishwasher. But he said, but when you look inside, it hasn't been cleaned. It's clean on the outside and filthy inside. He said, you wouldn't want to drink out of that cup, would you? If I gave you a cup in my house, clean on the outside, you'd look at it. But it's dirty inside. And our Lord Jesus is saying to the people around him, that's a picture of you. Filthy on the inside, respectable on the outside. That's it. And for that reason, as we saw in our reading, she can go to the first thing that Jesus said to them was the word repent. Repent. Do you know what the word repent means? It means get inside your own heart and clean up the inside. It's the dirt inside that you need to deal with. And what I want to say before I finish on this point, but this was not just true in the year 732 when Isaiah was here. It wasn't just true in Galilee when our Lord went to Capernaum. But this is true of the whole of mankind without exception. Without exception. Ever since Adam transgressed, there has been darkness in the soul of every man born, except for our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the psalmist said about us? Let me read it to you. The psalmist said, "The fool has said in his heart," in other words, the fool is thinking like this, what is he saying? There is no God. The fool has, as it were, stopped thinking about God. It says, no, they are, the psalmist, Psalm 14, he says, they are corrupt. Now the Hebrew says, they corrupt. In other words, they make corruption. Wherever they go, as it were, the corruption comes out of their heart. It affects everything. They corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. He says, the Lord looks down from heaven to see if there are any who understand. Is there anyone who seeks after God? They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one good. No, not one. Not one. Now, this is what the Bible says to the human race and every member of it. And let me say, this is true of every Christian before he comes to Christ. What does the Bible say? The whole, this is John, 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies in evil. Or sometimes that's translated, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Let me go to you, to 2 Corinthians for a moment. Listen. Sorry. 2 Corinthians, listen. He says, this is the condition of the human race whose minds the God of this age, that's the devil, has blinded, that's the darkness, who do not believe, lest in case the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So, what our Lord Jesus understood when he came to minister, he knew that he was coming to rescue the lost. He was coming to drag those in the darkness out of the darkness into the light. That's the earthly ministry of Christ. And that's why Matthew quotes Isaiah and he says, and look, he says, they have seen a great light. A great light is shining. It's interesting that Isaiah uses the phrase, the region of the shadow of death. And people have debated, what does it mean, the shadow of death? Some people think it means the darkest darkness you can ever see or imagine. And others take the word death literally. And we can tonight, today. You know, for a man in spiritual darkness of heart, that is death. You can have dead men walking in this world. They're walking around. Their GP wouldn't find anything wrong with them. But they are the walking dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, dead because they do not know God and dead because they're heading to a lost eternity. The walking dead are walking to hell. They're doing it today. The people around us who are walking down the street who do not know God, who are ignorant of his word, I'll tell you where they're going. They might think they're going to the shops or down to see family. They're walking straight into the mouth of hell. The fires are waiting for them. The deep darkness is there. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come in order to save men from that end. John chapter 1 says, "And the light shines, and it's shining today, shines in the darkness. Our Lord Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." Now, we have here in Matthew chapter 4 and in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the promise of deliverance from the darkness. And I will be brief this morning. Let me ask the question, how did Jesus deliver them from the darkness? How did he do it? Because we need to know this, because we are delivered in the same way. Well, the first thing is this, in verse 17, he began to preach. Do you know, this is why preaching and listening to preaching is so vital. Because that is the instrument of God to rescue you from the darkness. A man in spiritual darkness desperately needs more than anything else the word of eternal life. He needs the knowledge that Jesus Christ came to give. He began to preach. And his message was clear. It was no doubt. Repent. Leave your old ways. Stop doing what you've been doing. And he says this. Do you know there is a new kingdom to enter? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you sometimes, maybe like me, we live in the United Kingdom. And these days I despair of the United Kingdom. How long can this wretched country continue as it's going? But I take great heart from the fact that there is a better kingdom. There is a kingdom that I belong to that will last forever. And it's not like the United Kingdom in all its darkness. It is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of light. In other words, I for one have had my identity changed. I still live in the United Kingdom. I'm still a British subject. But my identity is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That's my identity. Now, our Lord, when he spoke to them, he gave them the light of the truth. What we read later in Matthew 5 and onwards, we will be listening, God willing, to the teaching of Christ. He gave them the truth. Not ideas, not options, not good things to think about, but the truth of the Word of God from heaven itself. Here we have in Christ the truth. In other words, what Isaiah said to what the Lord said to Isaiah was, bind up the testimony. Jesus comes to unbind it. He came to set the truth free before us. And you notice in the rest of this chapter how much our Lord Jesus was concerned that men should hear the truth. The next thing he did was call disciples who would preach the truth after he had left. He was preparing for the centuries to come, that all the world might hear the truth preached. There hasn't been a period in history when God has taken away all the preachers. He has sent them to preach the very same word that Christ preached himself. So, Jesus came to preach and to teach and to give them the word of truth, which is light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But that's not all that Jesus came to do. He came to dispel the darkness within them. And how is that done? Only by the work of the Holy Spirit. You know that the light of the truth can be preached in the hearing of the congregation week after week after week after week, but it will never enter the dark heart unless the Holy Spirit comes and brings the light of Christ within the heart. It's the darkness in the heart which is out of the reach of the preacher. Myself, Benjamin, Paul, Richard, men who stand here, they can't reach into your heart. Only God, the Spirit of God, can do that. Okay. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to baptize with the Spirit. In other words, he came to clothe his word with immense spiritual converting power. And not only that, but he came, as you know, to lay down his life at Calvary. Why? To take away the sins of everyone who believes in him, so that the face of God might shine upon them once again. When a man comes and hears what Jesus Christ has done, he hears who he is, and he believes in him, and he rests his eternal soul upon him, then God forgives him. His sins, his past sins, are blotted out. And instead of the wrath of God abiding on him until that day when he stands before that great judgment seat and is condemned, instead of that, the Lord looks upon him, forgiven, washed in the blood of Christ. He smiles upon him. You know, that light, there is nothing like the light of communion with God. There is nothing like the light that you have when you know that the face of God is shining upon you. That's what Christ came to do. I can tell you, when you think of Isaiah and all of the darkness, the elements of the darkness, those terrible elements, their ignorance of the word of God, the darkness within them, the judgment that came upon them, and God being estranged, all of that has been dealt with by our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood. In him we are reconciled to God. Paul writes, while we were enemies, still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, he died to get us out of the darkness that we were born in. Thanks to Adam, we were little Adams all over again, out of the darkness into the light of Christ. Let me tell you, there is no other light in this world. I am the light of the world, he says. And to know him is to have light. Not to know him is to be in the darkness still. Let me say, today it is vital that you and I hear Christ's preaching. We must hear his preaching. But it is more vital again that we receive it, that we receive him. And that is when we receive light in our souls. He said, upon those who sat in darkness, a great light has shined. Amen.